Welcome to another show, Seven Figures Nation, where our goal is to give you the tools, the tactics, strategies, and most importantly, the guests who have a roadmap for success to help you join the 5% of small business owners that generate seven figures annually. And today's guest, Macy McNeely, is going to be someone who can provide massive value on your journey. And she is an expert in sales. She has an amazing story of when she was in college and got through and thought she was going to go a certain route and work at corporate America, and at some point realized that she actually wanted to be an independent business owner. And she has done so successfully and made a massive impact. And she runs Guide Culture, which is an extreme sales organization that helps business owners and sales professionals get things rolling in the right direction. And Macy, I'd just love to hear a little bit about your story and what were some of the key events that led you towards entrepreneurship. And then we'll start diving into some of the specifics on how we can help the audience to dominate their sales process. There are over 32 million businesses in the U.S. and over 90% of them will never break seven figures in annual sales. So how do we as entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs break into that seven figures club? This podcast will relentlessly share the secrets, strategies, and tactics I've used to create three multi-seven figures businesses and bring in even more successful entrepreneurs than me to share their inspirational stories and tactics to success. You can create your dream business in life right now. So buckle up and let's go.
Yes. Well, you know, Leo, I actually grew up in a sales cultured home. My dad was an entrepreneur. He started he actually grew up very poor and was a teacher. And then when I was born, he became an entrepreneur. And he struggled just like most entrepreneurs did until he learned one skill. Sales skills changed everything from him. It's like everything just started to work. His activity didn't change. It was just the way he did it. He did it with skill. And that's when I like to say I grew up in a sales cultured home, because from that point on, he had a mission that his girls would leave his home with sales skills, to the point where he would play Dale Carnegie in our loudspeakers in our home. He would play audiobooks as we drove to and from school. He brought a projector to our beach trips with sales training booklets that he would pass around. Like, he was so passionate about us learning sales. And of course, when you're a teenager, your dad knows nothing. I'm sure you know a little bit about that, Leo, with all your kids ages 7 to 20. They're like, your dad, he's old and doesn't know anything. That's what I thought, at least. Until I started entrepreneurship, I actually started out in ministry, making $35,000 a year, doing some of the hardest work I've ever done. And I just knew this wasn't it. And so I decided to take a swing. And I started in network marketing just to like get my teeth into something. And my dad was watching me on Instagram, being the dad that he was, and try to coach me. And he said one thing to me. He said, Macy, you're coming off really ashamed to sell. Like, I'm watching you and I see you trying to present, but what's happening is you're just sharing, you're not selling. And I really had a choice. Like, I could either make it work or go back to a job. And I said, I'm not doing this. So I went back to him with my tail between my legs. And I said, all right, I'm ready. I'm ready to learn. And that process looked like learning material that he had been building for 30 years. We would role play. He and I would practice back and forth, and then I would implement aggressively. And I'd go back to his office and we'd do it again. I'd learn a little bit, we'd role play, and I'd implement, role play, implement, role play, implement. And over 6 months, I was playing the game so much, I just finally looked at the scoreboard, which was my numbers. And I realized I had made my first $10,000 a month. From making $35,000 a year to $10,000 a month, I literally did not know that those two words went together, $10,000 a month. I couldn't believe it. And what was amazing is the actual activity that I did, the sales activity didn't change. I just did it with skill. I was still jumping on the phone with people. I was still doing Instagram stories. I was still posting. Like, nothing really changed drastically. It just was with precision. And that's when I was like, oh, this is it. Like, this is it right here. And that's where I found the online world. I didn't even know online courses really existed until I had one. And I was like, oh, this is like a thing. Like, people sell their information. This is wild. And so we officially had our first cohort, is what we called it at the time, in 2018. We spent about a whole year of 2017 building it. And since then, my business partner was one of our first students, and she was like, her life was changed. And so that's when she came on. And now we actually only trained women. We create world-class sales girls through this material. And we've had thousands of women come through, and it has been game-changing for them, especially women who have kids and have, you know, little pockets of time. They want to make sure their work is working, right? That like what they're doing is actually moving the needle. And what's great is when you have skill, everything moves the needle.
Absolutely. No question about it. I'm curious, with your experience, you know, you spent a lot of time in school, went to college, and I'm curious, how often did you see any classes about sales?
Oh, it is so funny you say that. I went back to my college and spoke at the entrepreneurship college. And I was like, what is this curriculum? And it honestly made no sense. The curriculum, it was like creating ideas, and it was like projections. And I'm like, okay, I get that logically, that all these business principles are helpful to know, but unless you can sell, nothing else matters, right? Like unless you make money is the fuel to all business. So anything business related, any business principle is useless without money. And I just was like, wow, what a shame that the one skill that makes everything else work is just left out. It's just like money, all things about money is just left out of school. So yeah, absolutely nothing. I did go to school for human development, which was like people things, which was good, not great, but nothing in school about sales, unfortunately. And that's why we're here. We're actually called the School of Sales, our program.
Outstanding. So we've got Macy here, who is part of the Sales Girls, is the term that you ladies use. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, for everybody, you know, the best entrepreneurs we watch, if it's Shark Tank, Barbara Corcoran, Mark Cuban, you know, some of the most successful entrepreneurs of all time, Sarah Blakely, Steve Jobs, every one of them is incredibly passionate about their product. They pay attention to being customer centric, all those different things. But there's also a common denominator. They're all very good at sales.
100%.
And so when you start with a foundation of sales and you look at $36,000 a year, Macy, versus now making $10,000 a month, now you're building 7-8-figure empires and teaching others how to do the same. Where are some of the foundational mindsets that you need to have to be successful at sales that people just miss because no one teaches us?
Yeah. Honestly, I love that you brought up Sarah Blakely because she's a huge role model of mine. And one of the things I think people look at Sarah Blakely and see where she is and think, oh, what is she doing now? But what they're not really looking at is what she did to get there. And one of the first things she did was set up a Spanx section in Neiman Marcus, and she stood by it. She stood by that product stand to be able to be in conversation with people. Because she knew that whatever one person was saying, like that is what the market is. People are always talking about marketing. Marketing is going to market and hearing what the people are saying so that you can speak directly to them. And I think people really underestimate the power of a conversation. What people say to you with their words is the exact thing that you use to frame your message back to them. And so they're thinking about like online funnels, which funnels are one of the most powerful things that you can do. But even Russell Brunson says a funnel is a clone of your most powerful salesperson. So my question is, do you want to clone yourself? Can you get in a sales conversation and be able to really read between the lines? What are they saying that they're not saying? And how can you pull it out of them so they can reframe it back to them? Do not underestimate the power of a conversation. And I believe you are one conversation away from a major, major breakthrough. That's one, like huge. And then I think another really important mindset to have is sales is a process, not a pitch. So whenever you think about Shark Tank, for example, you think, oh my goodness, I got to say this one thing. And if I don't get it right, it's a no. And I walk away forever. When really the way sales works is it's every time you have a sentence or you say something to them, that is you guiding them over the belief bridge to help them see that what you have is for them. And most people think, oh, they told me no, or they didn't answer. They ghosted me. And so I lost the sale. when really they're just abandoning the process. That's it. And so being the person that thinks about themselves as the guide that meets them where they are and guides them over the bridge to live kind of like what we call is like on their island. Leo, you probably had a moment where you were like, epiphany, like this is game changing for people. This is life changing. And then you live on this island of belief that your offer is life changing. Would you agree with that? That you live on your island?
Absolutely. Yeah.
100%. And there's so many people on their island that doesn't even either know that you exist or sees that you exist, but isn't so sure if they want to end up on your island with you. So it's your job to meet them in their island and guide them over to yours where it is so much better. And that is what you do in conversations. It's like every little interaction, every little conversation, every word that you say is part of the process of guiding them over all the way through to completion is what we like to say.
No question. And so understanding how you build that bridge. And yeah. A lot of the times when we have that big breakthrough moment, we're like, and you see this vision, then you go and you want to tell everybody about it. But the mistake 100%. Often made, and Russell talks about this, is you get into the techno mumbo jumbo and the techno babble, and you're using all these words and evidences and things that really don't resonate with people.
Literally,
and so you
yes.
have to be able to really connect with them on their level mm-hmm. and simplify the way you explain it. So one of yeah. the interesting things I find out with a lot of people as they're starting to get into sales is they want to do all the talking.
Oh my gosh.
And when you're doing one-on-one sales or even sales to many, you've got to get that engagement. How important is it as you're getting into sales to get more feedback from the person you're dealing with versus you just spitting out all of the benefits and features of your product or service?
Oh, gosh, you just said that so perfectly, Leo. I can tell you're a sales girl too, Leo. What it sounds like. Salespeople are very passionate. And oftentimes passionate people aren't necessarily patient people. And so if you are on your island and you see someone on theirs and you're like, man, your life could be so much better on mine, what they end up doing, they don't even realize it, is like shouting, come over here. It's so amazing. Your life is going to be so much better. Come on, come on, come on, jump, 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 versus walking over alongside them and partnering with them. And so when it comes to really shutting your mouth is the key here to listen, you want them to give you a ton of ingredients, is what I like to call it, okay? So what most salespeople do is they're so passionate is they say all the things and they let the prospect pick what they want to eat, so to speak. So they treat it like the Golden Corral buffet. They're like, here, you can have this, 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 or this, and you pick what works for you and just like enjoy your meal. But a great salesperson makes a custom private chef meal based on the ingredients that they're given. Now, here's what's important here. The kind of mediocre salesperson thinks that what they're listening for is the specific meal. So for example, they would say like, they're looking to hear the person say, well, I really love lasagna. I really love ground turkey. Lean ground meat. I like sugar-free stuff. So I love sugar-free sauce. I like it this brand and this type of cheese. But a great salesperson is listening for what's not being said. So they might say things like, you know, high protein is really important to me. I like really have this amazing relationship with my grandmother and she's Italian. And she, oh my gosh, she makes this lasagna and it just instantly takes me back to my childhood. It's so special to me. But my health goals are really important to me. And it's really critical that I'm able to hit my macros while also not thinking a ton about food. And so the private chef is thinking, oh, I can make a perfect version of the lasagna just for them. And so they say back specifically what the other person wants in a custom chef private meal way. But the only way you can make a custom meal is if you listen between the lines, listen to what is not being said. Listen to what they think that they want versus what they actually want. Listen to what they think the problem is versus what really is the problem and be able to really frame it beautifully right for them. So when they get the meal, they're like, wow, this was made just for me. It's impossible for me to say no. Does that make sense?
Well said. Absolutely. So it's a customized solution where you're providing that solution based on the problem they're describing, but even going deeper into that. And it really is, as my business partner says, you're seeking to understand, you're listening with the intent to understand where it is they want to go without, because a lot of salespeople, you're just, you're thinking about the next thing you want to say and the next response instead of just quietly listening and going from there. And then I find another issue that new salespeople have is they ask a lot of yes, no questions.
How
important do you think, you know, as an expert in sales, it is to ask open-ended questions to get people to open up?
Oh my gosh. Well, I want as many ingredients as I can get.
There it is.
Like as it's kind of like Chopped. Honestly, it's kind of like Chopped. Have you seen Chopped?
Is that a show?
Chopped, yeah. It's where these chefs, they get a basket of a weird assortment of ingredients and they have to make a meal in 25 minutes. But they don't know the ingredients until right before they get it. And so with sales, it's like you're getting these ingredients that might not make sense off the top of your head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're getting like orange food and or orange juice and dog food. And you're like, wait, I'm supposed to make a meal for this person with this. But a great salesperson can. They can take the most random ingredients and on the spot make a meal that makes sense for them. But what ends up happening is they're thinking about what meal do I want to make versus what meal do they really want. So I'll give you a perfect example.
Exactly.
Of how to do this.
You got to say that again. Say that one more time for the audience.
Yeah. So salespeople usually are thinking, what meal do I want to make that I like, that's my payoff, like that I think is good for them, that I think that they want, versus what's the meal that they want to eat? It's two very different things. Huge. And what a lot of passionate people, salespeople do, is they're so passionate about how their offer has changed their own life that that's what they want to talk about. And talk about how their life has changed and their payoff that they've experienced versus the payoff that's possible for someone else of what they actually want. And so I'll give you like a quick example of this, of how just to get more ingredients. So let's say someone asks a question about like the calls, like how often your calls are, if you have like a group coaching program. Most people would say they're at 11 a.m. Eastern time on Wednesday, which is a fine answer, right? It feels like a logistic question, but I really want to know the ingredients of like, why are they asking that question? What's underneath there that's important to them? So if someone were to say, Macy, I'm curious to know when the calls are, what time they are. And I'd say, hey, I'd love to answer that question. I'm curious, is there a specific reason why you're asking? Or can you tell me more about why you're asking? And they might say, well, I really love to like pick up my kid and be the first one in carpool. That means I got to leave my house at 1 p.m. So I'm there by 1:30. And so I want to make sure I can show up live and make sure it makes sense for me. And so that's perfect. I can frame the meal perfectly for them. I can say, Leo, I have the best news ever. These calls are at 11 a.m. Eastern time, which means you have plenty of time to be front row when your kid comes out of school every single day. And then it's like, oh, this is perfect for me. This meal is made for me. This is exactly what I've been wanting. And they can eat it and enjoy it and get the ultimate payoff that they want. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And the other question I'm wondering is, as you are creating a business, which most of the audience, you know, has a product or service, how did you and your partner go about creating who you wanted to serve? Because there's an old marketing adage, if you're trying to serve everyone, you're serving no one. And I can tell just by listening to you that you're very dialed in and very clear on who you're serving, because that makes a difference in the sales presentation and the solution and the result 100%. That you want to give your ideal client at the end. So how did you come 100%. About deciding who it was that you and your partner in business wanted to serve?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And, you know, this was not a decision. It was a discovery process. It has been a constant iteration, constant iterations to finally landing on the sales girl identity. And, you know, what's interesting, this is why sales skills are so powerful, is one of the things we love to do and what we're known to do is to actually take people's objections and use that for content. Okay. So this is how the sales girl identity came, was we were actually handling someone's objection and like kind of played making event around this objection. So I'll give you an example. We used to have something called cohorts, which was like, we would do an 8-week cohorts. We do it differently now, but one of our cohorts was during the summer. And so one is like the 8 weeks, June and July. And the biggest objections during this time was like, it's summer. It's summertime. I don't have time. My kids are home. This is way too hard. And so we were like, you know what? We're about to sell them on why this is the perfect time for them. And so we created a like little event called Sales Girl Summer. It was just supposed to be fun because it was a lot of moms saying that. It's like, my kids are home and I'm home with them. Like Sales Girl Summer. And we basically sold them on being a sales girl so that you can make sales while you're with your kids, where it's actually simultaneously. It's like handling objection on a voice memo on the way to the playground, no problem. Come back and you made the sale. That's happened to me countless times, countless, because it was on autopilot. You don't have to think about it. And that sales girl identity was so sticky. People were like, I don't even know what you're selling. I just want to be a sales girl. That identity revealed itself as being so powerful. And that is the very thing that made us run with that is like the women who want to feel amazing selling, want to believe that sales is noble and persuasion is good. We actually have a book called Persuade for Good because we believe persuasion is good. And that is how it was discovered, literally from handling an objection publicly. That's what we love to do, handle objections publicly. And that's what has brought to light who really like wants this, desires this, and ultimately gets the most out of it. Yeah, but
Amazing. So that's how you do it.
we tried to sell to men and everyone forever. And honestly, we did really well. We hit 7 figures within 3 years of business with sales skills alone, like from the Lord and sales skills, truly.
Yes.
But it's so much easier to have the specific person that we get, we understand, we're moms, we're in business. Like we believe that making money is the easiest it's ever been, and it's good to make money. So that's how it's been discovered over time.
Amen. And then there's a transition for a lot of people that are looking to how can I transition from selling to one to selling to many to creating influence online, which you've been able to do very successfully, and create automated sales funnels. How does sales skills and what new sales skills do you need to learn when you go from selling one-on-one as we are to now creating something to attract your dream client with, online influence, content, webinar, sales funnels? What does that transition and bridge look like?
Gosh, I love your questions, Leo. They are so good. And what's the best news about selling to many people is that any group of people are made above individual people. That's what's really important to remember. So Sarah Blakely, going back to her, standing at her kiosk, her Spanx kiosk in Neiman Marcus, she knew that if one person was saying something, there was at least hundreds more that thought the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So the individual objections that people give me, I'm like, if one person is actually saying that to me, there's at least 10 more in my audience that are thinking it. Or the people that don't even realize that they're thinking it, I can really call it out and handle it. So objections are like mushrooms. When they're in the dark, they spread, they get bigger, and they get worse. But when they're brought to light, they die. And so that's why I always like this is why we're so passionate about handling objections publicly, because when you're able to bring to light the kind of gross thoughts that are in people's heads, you can just handle it and get rid of it and help them move into action. And so that's why sales conversations are so powerful, because every conversation you can actually use to take public into a public sales message. And that is exactly how we made our first million, is by being in individual conversations, hearing that conversation and turning around and making public content on exactly what we told them. So we sold them individually, told exactly what, like made a whole, we'll do a reel, a podcast, a YouTube video, all from one conversation, and really leverage the basic skill set of selling to be able to sell to the masses. And I think people go to selling to the masses so quickly, but the problem is like, and they think they need to grow their audience. They think, oh, my audience isn't the right people. It's not they don't get it. They're not my ideal client avatar. And I get that. Like, it really is easier to sell to your ideal client. But I promise you, if you cannot convert who you have in front of you right now, there ain't no chance you're going to be able to convert new people. And the more that you grow without sales skills, you're just telling more people that you're not for them. Because sales girls know how to make that custom meal for the public. In a public setting. And so you want to be able to speak custom publicly really well. And honestly, I promise you, when I say sales skills are at the foundation of that, when you master sales skills, all of that becomes like second nature, truly.
For sure. So to unpack that, you're starting with learning the sales skills, understanding all the different pain points and objections, being able to have solutions for those, create that customized solution on a one-on-one format. And then once you do that, whereas in a one-on-one, you maybe aren't bringing up every potential objection, you're dealing with them and asking that person to open up with the right questions, listening and providing solution. But when you sell to many, you're taking those top 8 or 10 objections and immediately, providing solutions and building a sales presentation around those. And when you're creating content, and this is so huge, a lot of people, you know, they know they need to create content. They know they might be an expert in their space, but they're unsure of how to make that transition. And what the big value bomb that Macy just dropped for us is take just one of those big problems, big objections, and create a content video showing your dream client or partner how you can resolve that for them and how they can do it. And that's where you earn that trust. Mm-hmm. And that's what trust sales is all about, right? Creating that trust and making that connection. I love that you describe it as a bridge and bringing them from, you know, the island that they're on to the island that they actually want to get to, which is the one that you are on. Well, Macy, at this point, the audience has received a lot of golden value bombs and strategic strategies to build the right sales process. But this is not a passive podcast. This is a podcast for action takers, and we want them to take action and take the next step. What is a resource, a tool? Mm-hmm. Where can they go to connect with you and start to integrate some of these sales girl strategies that have built so many businesses, and especially for the audience that is, you know, struggling with that transition from selling one-on-one to many, which I know a lot of.
Yeah, honestly, I love that you said we're action takers. We have something called the Sell Your Offer Challenge. And I love a challenge because it quite literally challenges you. It challenges you to act different, to think different, to be different than what you're used to doing. And that's what happens in the Sell Your Offer Challenge. So you can go to sellyouroffer challenge.com. And if you are a male listening to this and you have a wife or you have somebody that you know that is a woman that is wants to be successful, wants to sell their offer in a way that feels really good and makes them feel like that they're doing good and noble work, I cannot encourage you enough to send them. They will get so much out of it. Their brain will completely transform in just 5 days.
Unbelievable. And is this something that they can sign up for right now and get access to immediately?
You can go ahead and sign up, and then the next dates will just be updated on that page whenever they get updated. So the upcoming one is going to be in April. It's like the third week in April, I believe. We have them about once a month. And we just closed up a challenge, and people are actually making sales after day one, literally day one of the challenge. And they are making more sales than they did. I mean, I'm telling you what, it is game changing. So if you can come be all in, it's from 11 to 1 Eastern time. It will transform and renovate your brain when it comes to sales.
Absolutely. If you guys have attended any of these challenges, they are such a powerful way to, in such a short period of time, learn new skills. And then like Macy just said, implement those, right?
Yeah.
Learning, going through the process and analysis by paralysis. That's not what we want. We want you taking action, implementing what you learn. And so the website, again, everybody, and we'll have this at the bottom of the show notes in the description, but it is sellyouroffer challenge.com. It's an amazing challenge where you can connect, learn how to, you know, get your product to market, sell to many, learn the sales skills that you didn't learn in college and high school, but can from somebody who, you know, came from a family of salesmanship values and principles and everything you need to learn and know to take your business to the next level and join that 7 figures club and eventually hopefully that 8 figures club and build out a business that you've always dreamt of. So the final word is yours, Macy. What's the last word you want to leave with the audience today?
Gosh, all I can tell you is just to believe that persuade is good, that it is noble, that it is pure, that it is really critical to your mission. The word persuade, per means through to completion, and suede actually means to advise. I don't know if you know that. So persuade means to advise through to completion. Yeah. And, you know, women, we love to advise, we love to nurture, we love to take care of people, but really none of that matters unless people act on it and decide upon it. And that's why the through to completion is so important. So if you love your kids, if you love your family, if you love the people in your life, it is your duty, it is your obligation to learn how to persuade, to help them take action and not just advise them, but advise them to do what they know is best for them.
It's so important. And I love what you just shared there, Macy. Not only will this transform your business, it will transform your relationships. It will transform the way you're able to connect and help your children become more successful and complete things. And if there's anything society is missing today, it's actually completing things.
Amen. So good.
Well, Macy, thanks so much for being a guest on the show. And everybody, take action. go to sellyouroffer challenge.com and make it happen. Thank you, Macy.
Are you looking for more seven-figure secrets, content, or even how you can launch your own recession-proof business? Then check out sevenfigures.com. That's the digit 7, F-I-G-U-R-E-S.com, where we share more videos, stories, strategies, funding solutions, entrepreneurial education, and even the secret business type that's recession-proof. Thank you for listening, and if you're finding value in our podcast, please give us a 5-star and invite others to join the club.